Today's daf is daf Samech Tes. So let's take it from the bottom of Samech Ches, the last two words. The Gemara had been talking about if an achbar, a rodent of some sort, mouse or a rat, falls into some vat of beer or vinegar. So the Gemara now asks, Ibari Lahu, going on to Samech Tes now, Ibari Lahu, Nafil Lego Chalamai. What's the halacha of an achbar if this mouse falls into a pot of vinegar? What's the halacha? So what's the shaila? So Rashi and Tosafot have a slight machlokas here. What the shaila is, Rashi writes, Nafal lego chalamai, the very top here. Mi amrinan, do we say hachometz tamo kasha? Now the vinegar is very strong. The ein hasheretz mafigo la seis botam. And therefore the sheretz, normally it gives a bad flavor. But in this case, since the chometz is so strong, nothing's going to change its flavor. We're talking about where you remove the sheretz. Because if the sheretz is there, then it's us to eat it because of the sheretz. Sheretz falls in, you remove the sheretz. Does the sheretz leave behind any taste? Is it going to now ruin perhaps the sheikhar or not ruin the sheikhar? It's talking about chometz where the chometz is aser, it's aser midin yai nesach. So if a sheretz falls in, does that ruin the flavor and therefore would it be mutter to drink? Or because it's pugum or no, it's so the rodent won't have any impact on the vinegar. That's how Rashi understands the...
Isn't chometz regular chometz? And the question is if achbar is not been done?
No, I think it's a question of if it's mafik the time of the chometz, no? Because if it's not mafik the time of the chometz, so then what's the shaila here?
Because you said yesterday that the whole zera about achbar, that it's so disgusting that... I mean, it was a whole limud yesterday.
Yeah, but who would care, though, if it's pugum the chometz or not? I mean, Rashi says, "Mi amrinan hachometz tamo kasha, vein hasheretz mafigo laseis botam." It doesn't have the ability to give tam to the sheikhar.
I think the whole question is if the achbar itself is metamed, is ruins the chometz, not if the chometz was in itself.
So how do you read this language then? Ein hasheretz mafigo laseis botam.
You're probably right. I don't know. About
let's see how it says here. Even though it's mafig tam, it's still sheretz is aser. That's the chiddush Torah.
The chiddush is that the whole reason that you would say that it's automatically it's disgusting. Why would it say if you wouldn't eat anyway? The whole so according to that limud is that the reason that it's disgusting, even though nobody would eat anyways, is to make sure that it's false.
Right. So let's see. It says in the article here. It says im nesar chometz. So you're right. So I'm going to, if the chometz is aser, kevin she nivla botam meachbar o shelo nesar kevin she tamal she achbar pogum. Since it's so disgusting, so maybe it won't impact the beer, the vinegar rather. So it has to be a situation where it's going to give this disgusting flavor to the chometz. That's the shaila. So it is what you're saying. We'll aser the chometz. So that's how Rashi understands it, whether or not it's going to give tam or not. Look how Tosis writes. Tosis writes, Ibar lu nafal ligo chala. Tosis writes, Vim tomar, maishna bishar isrim kimo bishichra. Why would this be any different than any other types of items that it might fall into, like if it beer? Since the vinegar is very strong and potent, vagav churfe, from the sharpness, nosin tam l'shvach kimo gave chiltes. It might give a better flavor to it. So while Tosis focuses on the nosin tam l'shvach, Rashi focuses on nosin tam l'fgam here. So I'm not sure really what to make of it, because I understood the question differently than what you're saying now. So to me, it made...
I'm not sure. I'm saying that's my impression, but from yesterday's stuff. But
the way they quote Rashi over here in our scroll is they say that the mouse typically does provide a beneficial flavor, but because vinegar is so sharp, maybe it's not noticeable.
Right,
the beneficial flavor.
Right. So the question is that how Rashi is that what Rashi means here?
That's the way right. They say right. Rashi. They interpret Rashi that it was made according to Rav's second interpretation of Rav's ruling that a mouse, although in repulsive, imparts a beneficial flavor to beer.
So that's what Tosa says. Tosa says the shvach. That's what Tosa is saying that it gives a benefit. Rashi doesn't say that. So they might, I'm not sure how to I had a different understanding of Rashi. Okay, unclear within Rashi. Let's assume that way. So then the Gemara says anyway. What's the answer? So you have a rodent, a mouse that falls into the vinegar. What's the answer? Amalei Rav Hillel, Rav Ashi, Hava Uvda Bei Rav Kana V'Aser, that such a thing happened in the house of Rav Kana, and he's prohibited eating or drinking the vinegar. Rav Kana Amalei Hahu Imartute Imartate. There's a whole other shiloh what had happened there. If you look at Rashi to explain, Imartute Imartate, L'chatichos Dakos Katanos. The sheretz wasn't where the sheretz was there, and you remove the sheretz, and there was only a shiloh of tam. It's actually where pieces of the sheretz had been cut up, and they're floating around in the vinegar. The sheretz isura b'kadasha ketumasa. This is a chiddush in Rashi. The Rebbe Kveger points this out. Normally, the shear of a sheretz is, when it comes to tuma, is kadosh. If it's small enough, it's kadosh, it's metamed. Whoever says that's the shear when it comes to isurim, isurim might have a whole other set of halachas here. So others argue in Rashi and say, or the Taz actually says, when Rashi says the kadosha, lav dafka kadosha. When it comes to isur, we know even a chatzi shear is asur min haTorah, so it is lav dafka kadosha. Any amount of a bug that might be there, or a rodent that might be there, is going to be asur according to Rashi. The Chashinon says, Rashi now, Dilma Bolea Chaticha Sheretz Behadei Chometz. So what's happened where you chopped up the sheretz, or the rodent inside here, and then you ate it with the little pieces, that's why they said it was Aser. But if the mouse fell in, and then you removed it, so that's still an open question, whether that's going to be Metame, it's L'Shvach, or L'Fgam. Now what's interesting is here, the Chassam Sofer argues on this understanding of the Taz. Again, Rashi says, B'Kadosha, it has to be the size of a Kadosha. Implying, Pachos Mekadosha, it's Mutter. Taz says can't be. It's an Isser, Chatishir Asim and Torah. Chassam Sofer says, since we saw in yesterday's daf that the whole Inyun of Sheretz is Asir because of a Chiddush Torah, a person would say, who would eat a Sheretz? It's disgusting. The Torah Mechadish is Asir nonetheless. Chassam Sofer says, Chatishir Asim and Torah does not apply to Sheretz. Since the whole concept is Asir is a Chiddush, we don't apply an additional Chiddush of Chatishir Asim and Torah. And that's why Rashi means Dafka Kadasha is Asir. Pachas Mekadasha, according to the Chassam Sofer, would be actually mutter. Gemara now says, Ravina, actually fascinating Tosos here. Tosos writes, Dima Maschel Hahu, Imar Chute, Imitart. Tosos asks, Yesh, L'tmoa, there's some question, Achsha, V'heyach, Anu Ochlem, Dvash, Dvorim. How do we eat honey made from bees, or made by bees? Bahalo, Ragle, Dvorim, Muravim, B'dvash. There are bugs, oftentimes the legs get stuck in there, and you're floating around pieces of the Dvash, pieces of the sherets, rather, that are there. Even though it's disgusting, gives it a bad flavor. The sheretz itself, we don't care if it's pogim the dvash. It itself is aser. That's the chiddush haTorah. How could we eat dvash shel dvorim? So Tosfos answers, Lachein nirali, the Rabbeinu Tam, Devadai ragli dvorim, Mekeben de'atzmos, ba'almaninu mutarm. Since they're only bones, there's nothing, there's no flesh on the legs of the bees, it's mutter. And he goes on to explain how bones are actually mutter, which gets involved in the shiloh of gelatin, of bones, all that. That's the shita of Tosos. There is a Rabbeinu Yonah. That's a fascinating Rabbeinu Yonah. I actually quoted this in my Siyum this past year. He says the power of Dvash has the ability to take a Dover Isser and to nepach, mehapech, to turn over into the actual item. Honey has that interesting characteristic where it could take bugs and the pieces and turn it, it becomes part of the Dvash itself, and therefore it doesn't exist anymore. So that's what the Chavetz Chaim writes in Zagdama to the Kutei Halachos, and as we're starting Kudshim in a few weeks from now, he writes, how come Torah is compared to Dvash? He says, because just like Dvash has the ability to take a Dover Isser and to turn it, so too Torah has the ability to take a person who has Isurim, who have Averos, and to Mehapich him, turn him into a Dover Dvash, into a Tzadik.
That's a good word.
Fine. So then, let's go weiter now. The Gemara says, three lines down, Ravina Savar L'Shurei B'Meyav V'Chad, he wanted to say, you know, when a sheretz is mevatel, you need a bittul of 101 logara mitchuma. It's no different than chuma. Chuma also requires, even though normally we assume bittul by shishim by shar isurim, chuma is a chiddush, you need 101. Ditanan chuma ola be'echad umeya. He wanted to apply the same din when it came to a sheretz or a achbar that fell into a vinegar. Now, it's very strange. What's the connection of chuma to a sheichar, to an achbar? They say there really is no connection. They just felt that since the achbar has a din that's metame, even pogam, you need a larger shear bittel. So they, what was the next shear we had? 100 to 1 is the next thing we have, but not that there's a strong correlation or any correlation between Shuma and the Achbar that we're referring to. So then the Gemara says, Amar le Rav Tachlifa bar Giza le Ravina, Dilma Ketavlin shel Truma. Maybe Sheret has the same status of spices, seasoning, that's Shuma, Bekdera Dami, Dilo Bato Tamayu. Whenever there's seasoning, whenever something gives a flavor to it, there's no bittel. We know that there's a din of bittul baro, bittul b'shishim, all these types of bitulim, but the halacha is there are many exceptions where bittul doesn't apply. So, for example, a birya. Let's say you have an entire item. A trafe bird falls into a vat of something that's 5 million times the size of the bird. We say birya cannot be bittul. Another example is something that's nosin tam, that gives a tavlin, that's seasoning, no matter what the ratio is, can never be batal. So maybe we should compare it to tavlin shel truma, just like there's no bittul by tavlin shel truma, there should be no bittul by a sheretz or an achbar that falls in. So Gemara says, fine, so there's no response really to that one. So then Rav Achai Sheor Bechala Bechamshin. He actually felt when something like this, Achbar, falls into vinegar, you require only 1 to 50, which is a smaller shear than the typical 1 to 60. Rashi explains why that would be four lines down from the top. Bechamishim, Kevin the Chomet Tamo Kasha. Since the vinegar is so strong, Lo Bai Shisin Labdula, you don't need the 60, you don't need the quantity, because in the quality of the vinegar, the strength of the vinegar, that itself has the ability to Afilu Bechamishin, says Rashi, Lo Yav Be Taima, it's going to then ruin, prevent the Tam of the Achbar falling out. So he was Mechadish to go a lesser shear with 50. Rav Shmuel Braid Rav Ika Sheir B'Shichar B'Shusin, they felt with beer you go to the normal ratio of 60. Bottom line is Hilchasa Idi V'Idi B'Shusin V'Chein Kol Yisur Mitar. We always follow Batu B'Shishim. It has to be where the Achbar is out, because if the Achbar is in, then there's also to see the Achbar itself. No, if with the Tam, if it gives Tam, if you taste the Sheretz. Even though it's Pagam, we said yesterday that Pagam is still usher by Sheretz.
Right.
So only if it's 1 to 60 would that Tam be Batal.
1 to 60 of what?
Of that Sheretz.
Itself?
Yeah, we don't know how much Tam came in.
Even though you take it out.
We assume the most Tam came out. The entire volume of that Sheretz put all that Tam into here. That's all we can assume. We can't figure out anything less than that. So 60 times the size, the volume of the Sheretz would be Mevatel, any Tam that might be there.
And we hold less than that is usher.
Less than that would be us, exactly.
Even though you take it out.
It's very hard, of course, to calculate 1 of 60. How do you have a pot of chillin, some milk falls, and how exactly do you... It's just very hard to measure it. It's you have to really be an expert in this.
Does that apply to anything else, or it's only shrotzim?
All the milk that falls into meat and
no,
chillin.
But the milk stays. Here you're taking out.
Lach b'lach yavish b'yavish. That's the whole right. Shaila. If it's yavish b'yavish, you need to remove the davar iser.
Right.
Lach b'lach ends up becoming absorbed.
A piece of meat falls into milk, and you take out the piece of meat. Is that the same also? Yeah, it's b'shishim?
That's also b'shishim, yeah.
Even though you took it out?
Yeah, but again, in that case, the amount of milk, if it falls into milk, the amount of milk that's going to go in the meat will not be less than 60.
No, I'm saying the other way around. Does the milk get...
So if the meat, you figure out the size of the meat, and if
let's say you have a huge jar of milk and a piece of meat falls down, you take it out.
Yeah.
So you still have to count.
Exactly. If the meat's there, you can't eat it. The first thing always, you have to remove the davar issa that falls in. That's number one.
And
once you remove that, then the remaining part depends on the shishim. Okay, there's an interesting thing in Rashi here. I don't want to read it. I need to catch the next minute here. But he does point out, by min b'mino, there's a machlok. There's a steer in Rashi here. And we saw Rashi earlier, where the min b'mino also has a din of shishim. Here he thinks min b'mino is goes based on kosher. Even a small amount of wine that falls into wine, yayin nesach, falls into a big vat of kosher wine, it's aser, according to Rashi, possibly like Rabbi Yehuda, min b'mino is aser b'mashu. But we paskin min b'mino is actually also bata b'shishim, like the Rabbanon. So Rashi has two different days, depending where you find the Rashi. The mission now tells us, Ovid Kochavim Shaya Mavir Im Yisrael Kad Yain Mimakum Lamakum. A guy is helping a Jew transport wine from one place to the next. The wine is kosher, but we don't know if he's going to contaminate it and make it Yain Nesach. So the Gemara, the Mishnah gives us the following rules. Im Haya Bechezkas HaMishtamer Mutter. If it's in the Cheskas HaMishtamer, it's considered protected. So then that Yain is considered Mutter. We'll see what that means in just a second. But just look at Rashi. Rashi is an important line here. Im haya becheskas hamishtamer mefarish b'gemar. He tells us what the Gemara is going to tell us. Shiafa pisha hiflig Yisrael min ha'ovid kocham. Even though the Yid had stepped away a mil, a certain distance, im lo hodio shu maflig motor. If he doesn't tell him, he just steps away without him knowing. He sneaks out the back. That's completely fine according to Rashi and the Gemara. We have to get to a Tosus who argues on this Rashi, but Rashi is all about distance. Tosus adds a different element. We'll see when we get to the Gemara. So now the Mishnah says again, Im haya becheskas hamishtamer mutter. If it's still under the protection of the Baal Bayis, the Yid, it's still kosher. Im hodiyo shu maflik, if he tells the non-Jew, I'm going away, I'll be back in a couple hours from now. So then the question is how long he tells the non-Jew he's going away, and now how long does he go away to now perhaps aser the wine? Kadesha yishtom is to poke a little hole in the side of the barrel, Rashi says, to drink some wine. The yishtom, and be able to close it up, v'yagav, let it, the cement or the plaster dry. If it's that amount of time, let's say it takes 20 minutes to pluck a hole and drink it and then plaster it and dry, then more than 20 minutes, if he tells him, that wine would now be aser. And again, kadesha yishtom, v'yishtom, close it, v'yagav, and let it dry. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel has a larger shear, Omer, kadesha yiftach es hachavis, to open the entire top of the barrel, and the yigof, and then drink it and reclose it, v'tigov, and let the whole thing dry. So it's a much larger shifur ashba, because you have to remove the whole top and re-plaster the whole top and let all that dry. So if that might be 45 minutes, let's say, so he gives you more time where you could run away, telling him, I'll be back in 45 minutes, that might be allowed still according to Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel.
This is not with a double seal. This is,
we're not dealing with the seals at all right now. Right. Gemara now says, Mishnah says, further case, Hameniach yeno b'karon u'b'sfina, a person left his wine on a wagon or in a boat, v'halach lo b'kapandria, he walks in a short path, there's a very small shortcut to get to the city, and he could be back in just a couple of minutes, so then ends up being, nichnas l'medina rachat, but he takes a little tangent. So the non-Jew thinks he's going to run to the store quickly. He thinks he could come back any given second now, but he ends up taking his time without telling the non-Jew. Goes to the bathhouse, comes back in a couple of hours from now. That's mutter, because the non-Jew is scared that any second the guy could come back. But again, im hodiu shumaflig, if you tell the guy I'm going to be out, going to the gym, go to the bathhouse, and be back in 3 hours from now, so then that's going to be a problem. And then what's going to be is, if it's maflig kadesha yishtom v'yishtom v'yigo, if it's usher, if it's enough time for him to poke a hole in the barrel, drink it, close it, and dry, then it's usher. But Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel omer kadesha yiftach hasachavis v'yigo v'tigo, it's no, the shear to remove the entire top of the barrel, drink, close it, and then let it dry. Same exact case almost as the first the ratio. Mishnah says, again, a similar case. Hamaniach obed kochavim b'chanis. You leave a non-Jew in your wine cellar, your wine store. Afa pishi yotzev v'nichnas mutter. Even though you're coming in and out, yotzev v'nichnas is considered mutter. There's that mirtas, that fear factor. He won't do anything. He won't contaminate the wine. But again, im hodio shehu maflik, if you tell him that you're going out for some time, that if you tell him you're going out a period longer than kadesha yishtom v'yistom v'yigov, it's us according to the Tanakhama, and yet again, rashbago mer kadesha yiftach es achavis v'yigov v'tigov, until you take off the top and cover the whole top and let it dry. And fourth and final case of this mission is haya ochel imo al shulchan. You're sitting at the table with him eating, and there's v'hiniach lagagin laginin. There's some barrels of wine, pitchers of wine that are there al shulchan on the table, and there's also lagin al hadluvaki. Dluvaki, they say, is some like table off to the side that wasn't used for the sud itself, but you're leaving wine on the side in case you need for a different meal. So the halacha is mutter. All the wine that's on the table, that's on the side, is all mutter because you're there with him. But im amarlo, if you tell him. You step out for just a moment. Mashal hashulchan aser. That which is on the table is actually going to be aser. Because you can quickly touch it in an arm's reach. But that which is shal hadulvaki mutter. That which is on the side, those barrels which were not meant to be used for the suda, those are actually going to be mutter. That's only if you just step outside without having to tell him. But im amarlo, if you tell the non-Jew that you're going out, that you say to him, have a mozik, rather, you tell him, have a mozik v'shosu, you give him permission, you give him rishus to go take wine and to dilute it and drink it, so then if you step out just for a moment, af al shal shal aduvaki would be us. Even that which is on the side table, since you gave him permission to be a little bit more involved in the wine, he's now going to, wait, he stepped out for a moment, I'm going to take the wine over there off to the side, then all the wine in the room ends up becoming awesome. Now, which is interesting to know, just keep in mind, in this Mishnah, this part of the Mishnah, Rashbag does not argue, does not give a position here, and we'll see how that's relevant on Amud Beis. Then the Mishnah finally says, Chavayos, Psuchos, Asuros, in general, any barrels that are open that they were to touch would be Asur. If they are Stumos, if they're closed, they're Mutaros, Kadesh Yiftach, V'yigov, V'tigov. They would be Mutter unless you wait a period of time where they could go again, reseal everything, open it, drink it, close it, and then let it dry. So that's the Mishnah. A lot of repetition, it seems, in the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to tell us why we need all these different cases. Okay, so Gemara now asks the question, going back to the first line of the Mishnah, where we said in the Mishnah, Heichi dami b'cheskas hamishtamer. We said if the individual, the owner, the Jew, the Ba'abai, steps away in enough time where it's considered mishtamer, that's considered the wine is still mutter, even though it's in the current presence of a non-Jew. So what's the definition? Heichi dami b'cheskas hamishtamer. So the Gemara says, Kidetanya. Haresha yuchamar v'poalav tunim taharos. So you have the donkey rider and all his workers who are all Am Ha'aretz. And the carrying taros, and normally in Am Ha'aretz, is metame taros. So the Gemara says, afilu hiflik mehem yos mimil tarosav taros. So right now we're assuming the taros are actually open. They're not in any sealed off jars. They're actually open. So if the Am Ha'aretz touch it, and you step away, even though you go a distance of a mil, so still the lach is, they're still considered taros, because he's scared you may come back any given moment. But im amar lehem, if you tell the Am Haaretz, lechu, go ahead, I'll catch up to you. Avani b'acharech, I'm going to come catch you up later, catch up to you later. So then the lach is kevan shinis alma eine mehem taros of tameos. So since you stepped away, nis alma, the aino, you can't see them anymore. There's no fear factor. You'll be there in 2 hours. Then they might touch the taros and become tamer. So the Gemara asks a very basic question here in this brisa here. Maishna resha, maishna seifa. Why is the resha tower and the seifa tamer? Look at Rashi to explain the question here. Maishna resha, maishna seifa. Haka chazulu denaga. We're talking about the katani tun on taros. The carrying taros, v'hani lav chavios ninu shustumos. We're not talking about where they're in bags or jars or barrels. Oh, they're open. They're holding actual fruits, let's say, with their own hands. And if they're am ha'aretz, so either they're going to be tamei whether you're there or not, or in both cases they should be tar. What's the difference here? And so the Gemara explains that Amar Rav Yitzchak Reisha b'mitayr chamarava upoal of lekach. It's talking about where you had the donkey driver and his workers go to the mikvah. So now they're tahor. So the fact that they're touching it is not going to be mitame. So if that's the case, if they're not mitame, how come in the seifa when you say I'm going to catch up to you in a couple hours, they should still be tahor? Ihachi seifa nami, it should also be tahor. Gemara says ein am haaretz makbid al mago chaveiro. Even though they themselves are tahor, they went to the mikvah, if their friend comes along and let the friend touch the taharos, that's the problem. So if you say, if you stay along with them and you're not too far, he's not going to let the friends touch it. But if you tell the guy, I'll be there in 3 hours, then the Am Haaretz who are leading the donkey are going to allow his friends to touch it, and then they would be metame. And then the Gemara says, Ihach, if that's the case, afilu reisha nami. So if he lets his friend touch it, even the reisha then, that it should be concerned that he'll let his chavir touch the taros, and even the reisha should be tamei. Gemara says, reisha nami hachi, name a hachi, that was the question. So he answers the Gemara, Amar Rava is talking about a situation, biba lehem derech akalason, where he comes, Rashi explains, kishabal bais yachal lavo derech akalason, bimirtas hasha asi. Some of the situation where he can always sneak up from behind you, you never know where he's coming from. If you know there's only one entrance, he can only come from that area of the city, so you can always watch, and if he's not coming, you let your friends touch him. But if there's a back way you could come and see what you're up to, so then there's always going to be that fear factor. So if he just steps away in the reisha, so then the chamar won't let the friends touch him. But if he says, I'll be back in 3 hours, so then he'll let his friends touch it and be metameh. So then the Gemara says, Yach, if that's the case, Seifa Nami, if there's always a chashash of him coming from the back door, so even the Seifa, the Chamarav wouldn't let his friends touch it, and it should still be Tawar, even the Seifa. Gemara says, Kevin Damar Lulachuv, Ani Ba Acharechem, Samchadatayu. Since the Babayis, the one who keeps the halachas, who owns the wine, says, I'll be back in 2 hours, so then the Chamarav Upoal of trust him that he'll actually be here in 2 hours, and the Nachoshish, he might come to them in the back door. Okay, let's go weiter now. The Gemara then says, Hameniach, 3 lines down, on Samach Tesma Beis, Hameniach, Ovid Kochavim Bechanuso, Hameniach Yene Bekaro No Besfina. A person leaves, we had all these different cases in the Mishnah, you left the guy in the store, you left the guy in the wagon, on the boat, all these different cases. So what's the, why do we need to teach all these three situations in the Mishnah? So the Gemara explains as follows now. Tzricha, you need to teach all cases, the Itana Ovid Kochavim, the first case, the Savar Dil Maasi Vechazilei, the first case that the non-Jew is constantly concerned that maybe the Jew is going to come and catch what he's doing. So in that case, we said that if you step away for a period of time, so then if it's within a certain shear, it won't be asr. Aval, bekaro nebesvina, when it comes to a wagon or a boat, ema demafig leil esvinasa v'avid mai debayim. There's a chashash, maybe in this case we should be more machmir, and say that since he's on a boat, he's in a separate boat from the Jew, it seems, and a separate wagon from the Jew. So he could just pull over the wagon or pull the boat over a little bit out of his eyesight where he can't see anymore, out of his vision, and he could do something, whatever he wants with the yayin. So maybe in that case, we should always say that it's going to be usr if the wine is found in the boat or the wagon. Kamash v'la, no. Even though he can, in theory, step away, he can move the boat a little bit further away where the Jew can't see, there is still that fear factor. And as long as it's within that shear of time of Kadesha Tishte v'tafug v'tignov, that's going to be mutter. If we taught the case only of the wagon and the boat, when that case, Mishum Desavar Dilma Asi Ba'urcha Acharisa V'Kaguda V'Chazile. What it means is, if the guy's on the boat or the wagon, he's on the highway or in the sea, so the chashash, the Jew might come from some other angle and or look over the wall or peer into what's going on. He's so open, he's so exposed, he could come from different angles, from that rooftop, that rooftop. So maybe there's a chashash, and that's where we trust the non-Jew a little bit more, And as long as it's not longer than that 30 minutes, the wine's kosher. Ava, when it comes to over kochavim v'chanusa, if it's in a store, so now the Jew's not in my store right now. The front door is closed. So now the non-Jew's going to say, Ema achid lei lebav, I'm going to close the front door to the store. Vavil kol debay, I'm going to do whatever I please. And maybe in that case we should ask for even a small amount of time where the Jew left the store, kamashmalan, even in that case where the Jew is not in the store and there's only one entrance in through the front door, and the front door is closed, there still is that level of fear factor, and the non-Jew will not contaminate it unless the Jew steps away and tells him he's stepping away for a long period of time. Okay, the Gemara now says around 10 lines down, Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar B'Yochan, Machlokas B'Shel Sid. The whole debate between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, whether or not you have to even open up a hole and reseal it, or the whole top and reseal the whole top, that's a Machlokas when it comes to Sid, when it comes to the plaster. Aval B'Shel Tid, if it comes to cement, so then Divri Akol Kedei Sheyiftach V'Yigof V'Yigof. Everyone agrees it's when you remove the entire top and reseal it and redry it. Why? Because let's say it has to do with cement. So let's say the top is cemented. So if cement is white, but when you first do the wet cement, it's first black. It's dark. It's dark gray, and over time it dries and becomes white. So if I now, all I have to do is just make a little hole and I put new cement on it, that hole is going to be black or dark gray. The rest is going to be white. It's going to be very, very noticeable. So if it's been sealed with cement, everybody agrees he would only do it if he would remove the entire top and reseal and redry the entire top as well. Even Tanakama would agree to that as well. Otherwise, it'd be so noticeable. That's what Rashi clearly says. So the Gemara asks now, Meisive, Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Chachamim. So the Rashbag says to Chachamim, Valo stumo nikar. This is a brisa that adds on to the dialogue in the Mishnah. So didn't the Rashbag says to Chachamim, Valo stumo nikar? Isn't the hole that's been plugged up now, isn't that going to be recognizable? No one would ever just make a hole and reseal it. You would notice it. So that's why Rashbag says it's where you remove the whole top and reseal the whole top. Bain milamala, bain milamata. Whether it's on top, whether it's on bottom. So it's unclear what this means on top versus on bottom. It seems the way the Masifta explains this, it's talking about the outside versus the inside. The way I'm not sure if the article says this as well, but let's say you have the seal. So when I'm resealing something, I make a hole and reseal the top. I can make the top flat, but I can't make the inside flat. There's no way to do that because I'm not going from the inside. You understand what I'm saying? That let's say the cement, I don't know how it was done back then, but let's say you took a whole cement cap and you put it on top. It's flat on top and bottom. But if you're trying to make the bottom flat, you can't. You have no area to get inside the barrel to make the inside of it flat. The top and bottom,
Here that it's talking about the sides of the barrel.
That's what Rashi sounds like also.
Here it says, Betzida Elyon or Betzida Tachon.
So that's what Rashi seems to. Rashi didn't say the word tzida. If you look at Rashi, Bein Milamata, Kishe Yiftach, Yisrael, Esa Magufa, Yira Mitachte, Osa Stima. It sounds like when you take off the Magufa, the top, you see the bottom of the top. The top, he made it smooth, the goy. You can seal the hole very equally. The bottom of that top, I don't think it's referring to the side.
No, I think it's
the bottom of
the back.
Yeah, I mean, that's what,
I mean,
it
just says that, but I think afterwards the whole explanation, it seems that it's like that.
So again, the inside of that cap, there's no way to fix it, no way to make it smooth anymore. So now we read back into the Gemara. So Rashbag says, how could you fix the hole? Granted, you can make the hole very smooth, but the bottom you can't make smooth. So then the Jew takes off the cap. He says, wait a second, why is there at the bottom of my cap here? There's that very unsmooth hole. Must be the non-Jew is tampering with it. So now the Gemara uses this brisa to explain, Iamris, if you say Bishma, this makes sense. Bishel Tit, if they were using cement, Machlokes, so then, when it comes to the cement, you can recognize the top and the bottom because it's discolored. That's when there's, we said, the cement is initially dark and it only gets white later on. If you think that they're debating about the sid, the machlokas is about when using the plaster, so then, bishma lamata yodia. I understand that the bottom is recognizable because you can't make the plaster smooth because it's already on top of the barrel. Ela lamala holo yodia. But the top, no one can notice the top of it. There's no machlokas because the plaster is white. Whether it's old or new, the plaster is always the same color, so there shouldn't be, even the top shouldn't be recognizable. So the Gemara says, Hallo Yadia, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, I skipped the line 1 second. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Hudulo Yada, my Kami Rabbanim. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel didn't know what Rabbanim said. We find this a few places in Shas, which is interesting.
And then it starts. starts Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who did look at it.
Did I not say that? Let's see. Bishma lamata yadia. I understand the bottom he would recognize because it's not smooth. Ela lamala hala yadia. Yeah, so the top he doesn't know. So Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who dila yadia my kami rabban. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel didn't know exactly what the rabban had said initially. We have this a few places in Shas. Gemara and Yuma says it a couple places and elsewhere. That sometimes there was I think Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was always that person who didn't know what the person had said to him. I mean, a Tana said something, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel didn't know if he said A or he said B, so he's addressing both points here. So this is another example of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel addressing both points, because it was a suffix what he had said initially to him. So the Gemara explains as follows. This is what Rashbag was responding back to the Chachamim. If you're talking about using, if you're addressing a situation, the machlokas is where they're using cement, kamriso, that's what you said. Then that's when you said if you make a small hole and then you replug it, so as long as it's not longer than that, you're allowed to go a step away. So then, stuma nikar, I'm going to tell you, when it comes to cement, then that hole that's plugged up is going to be recognizable, both bein milamala, bein milamata. It's going to be recognizable on top. Granted, you can make it flat and smooth, but the color will be noticeable with the tit. And on the bottom will be noticeable in terms of it won't be flat. The color, and also it won't be flat because there's no way to flatten the bottom of it when you plug that hole up. The E shell, the shell sid, kamri. So if you're talking about using plaster where the color will always remain white and the same, nahi dilamala layadia. Granted, the top won't be recognizable because it's going to be smooth, it's going to be just as white, but still, limata mia yadia. But from the bottom, when he takes off the cap, he'll see, wait a second, why is there an area sticking out here? The plaster isn't smooth in that one spot. Must be the non-Jew took something to drink. So that's what Rashbag said to him. So Rabban say back, no. Because once the Jew sees the top is smooth, he's not going to say, well, let me check the bottom of this cap here. He's not going to do that. Who does that? Once you see the top looks completely smooth and not tampered with, he'll trust it, and he's not going to test the bottom, and therefore, even though you can recognize it, he's not going to be paying attention to the bottom of that cap. Or inami, Gemara says, Zimnin de Chalim. Another explanation is, granted that the non-Jew won't be able to smooth it on his own, the bottom of the cover, but Rashi explains, the Chalim, Mismale HaNekev Milamata Kilamala. Sometimes you'll be able to get it, I guess, in such a way where it can fill up the spot, it will look smooth. I don't know how that happens exactly, but sometimes you'll be lucky and be able to be such an expert and get them to be smooth both on the top and even on the bottom. Gemara now says, Amar Rava Halacha Ki Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. We pass in that way that you have a longer period of time where you could step away as long as enough time to take off the cap, the cover, and reseal it and let it dry. Why? What's the proof? Hol v'tnan stama kivasai. Since the mission, the end of our mission, Amun Aleph, was taught stam like the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Remember that last case, the fourth scenario, doesn't mention machlokes between Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Just says stam, that scenario of what? V'tnan. Haya ochel al shulchan imo. You're sitting at the table with a non-Jew. V'hniach lagin al shulchan. You have some bottles of wine on the table. And you also lagin al dufaki and some wine off to the side as well. V'hniach v'yatza. The Jew steps out of the room for a moment. Mashal al shulchan also. That which is on the table, all those bottles of wine or usher, but mashallah dulvaki is going to be mutter. He's not going to extend himself and take the wine off from the side. But im amarlo, if he says to the non-Jew and gives him a reshus, have a mozik v'shosef, please feel free to take whatever you want, so then afshal hadulvaki usher, even the side, the wine on the side is going to be usher as well, since he has reshus and was given granted permission to do whatever he wants. So then the Mishnah finishes off saying, chavayos pesuchos asuros, if the barrels are open, they're going to be usher because the non-Jew may touch them. If they're stumos, if they're sealed, mutaris, they're mutter, unless you leave a period of time, that's what? Kadesh yiftach v'yigov v'tigov, until you open the entire app, not poke a hole in, but you open the entire thing, that's clearly stam kira mishimon gamliel. Gemara says, pshita, that's such an obvious point. What's Rava coming to tell me? I learned the Mishnah just before. We know that the Mishnah at the end, paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, since it taught a stam case. What's he telling us? So Gemara says, Mao the same, what would you think? Kula Rabbi Shimon Gamliel katanila kamashmalam. You would thought this is just a continuation of what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was saying before, an added case where he would say that you have to wait kadesha tiftach v'yigof v'tigov. But not to say that we passing like him. By the way, you read the Mishnah right before that, the Mishnah had said that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says Haya ochel imo al shulchan kidei, and then he just goes on to say. And another case that Rashbag says is Haya ochel imo al shulchan. That's just a continuation of Hamshacha of Rashbag. But Eina Chanami Tanakama would argue and say you have a lesser shear to work with. The Rav is telling me don't read that way. Kamashmalan, the fact that Mishnah says a whole new scenario, we're passing Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Gemara says, "V'chim ma'acher dekaim lan kavase dirashbag." Now that we paskin like him, d'lochash l'shtume. We're not concerned that a non-Jew might come and poke a hole in your barrel. You're only concerned if you take off the entire cover. V'holchazan further, kavase de Rabbi Eliezer. We paskin like him as well. D'lochash l'ziyufa. That we're not concerned that he's able to reseal it in such a way and cover up what he took. So now, ha'inna my time aloma sfinin chamra biyad ovdi chachavim. There's no chashash anymore of a non-Jew tampering with the seals and plugging a hole in the barrel. You should be able to leave barrels of wine as long as they're sealed with a non-Jew all the time. How come the practice apparently back then was not to leave barrels of wine with a non-Jew? The Gemara says, that all that being said, Mishim Shaicha. What's Mishim Shaicha? Says Rashi, last Rashi in the page here. Mishim Shaicha, Nekev Dak Ma'od, Shu Kimigufas, Chavis, Leos Reich, Hayayin Yot. They make a tiny hole in the top of the barrel where some of the smell of the wine is going to be coming out. V'yesh Lachos Shema Yikadech, Sham B'miktas, V'yitom Min HaYayin. You might pour it out and drink a little bit of that wine from a tiny, tiny hole, and that's why we are concerned. Meaning, granted that, according to Rashbag, no one would make a big hole and then seal it off. That would be noticeable. To make a tiny hole that you don't have to even reseal, it's so small, to take a little drink from that tiny hole, that's the whole reason why we don't leave any wine, even sealed wines, with the non-Jews. I'm not sure if it's a chashash b'nizban hazeh at all, but that's what the Gemara seems to say.
This whole